As we're getting ready to do this message today, I have a handout. It's called a gifts quiz, but it's not graded. You're not going to turn it in. You're going to keep it. Now, let me give you some instructions. We tend to be real benign towards our own selves. So we'll read something and go, well, I kind of have that. Well, I'm not interested in what you kind of have. It's not what you kind of have. It's what you do have. Okay, now if you want to mark the kinds of with a little different mark than an X on the box, that's okay, so that you remind yourself. There are lots of things that we're going to be, because we're believers, that we understand that I kind of have that. But we're trying to make a self-evaluation so that we can discover the areas where the Lord wants us to grow. So in some cases for me, I have to grow from zero. But in other cases, in other places, I don't have to grow from zero. Maybe I'm at 30%, maybe I'm at 50%, maybe I'm at 70%. If I've been serving the Lord for a long time, that will manifest itself. However, that's what I really would like you. So if your first reaction is to say yes, or your first reaction is to say no, then try to follow your first reaction. At the conclusion, what we're going to do is add up the marks on each person. And then you're going to write in the bottom, what person are you more like? Or what two people are you more like? Now, if you come up with seven people that you're more like, then it must be Yeshua in the flesh here. Yeshua must have shown up, you know. So I don't expect that there's too many of us that are sanctified and glorified yet. So I would expect that you will have, typically, you should place them here. So at the end, that you are welcome to avail yourself with anyone. Don't start yet. Let me give you some introduction. Then John's going to play some music while you take time and fill it out. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Romans 12. Verse 6 through 8. The scripture says, but we have gifts. The Greek word there is charismata, which is charisma in plural. Charismata. That's the Greek word. The word charisma means grace. Okay? The word charisma means gifts. But the Bible says we have gifts that differ. They're not the same. And which are meant to be used according to the grace that has been given to us. In other words, the Lord's going to give you the desire and the power to execute on the gifts that he wants to give us. Now, it lists seven. Here are the seven listed. The seven gifts that Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 12. If prophecy, so the gift of prophecy, in proportion to our faith. The second one, if service in our serving. Number three, the one who teaches in his teaching. Number four, the one who exhorts in his exhortation. Number five, the one who gives in generosity. Number six, the one who leads. The King James Version says the one who rules. So it's a leader, a ruler, or an organizer with diligence. And number seven, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So those are the seven things that Paul said that we have. But they differ from one another. So you have primarily one of these spiritual gifts. In the TLV and the King James Version, they correctly translate the Greek word charismata into the word gifts. So when we read here in Romans 12:1, the Greek says charismata. The seven gifts listed in verses 7 and 8 are not based on merit. You don't have to qualify to have one of them. Actually, God gives them according to his grace. And what I mean by grace is the desire and the power to do his will. They are not organized in spirituality. So the first one listed was prophecy and the last listed was mercy. That doesn't mean that prophet is number one and mercy is number seven, other than to give numbers. They're equally important. Equally important. So we have to give them in some order because we don't understand seven things at once. So he gave them in that order. So I'll explain them in that order. And it doesn't mean that if you have number two that you're more spiritual than number four. It doesn't mean any of that. Okay? He placed these gifts on every person. He placed primarily one of these, I call them motivational gifts, in each person. And to the extent that we grow in the Lord, we will begin to understand other aspects of the walk and embrace some of that. And in reality, then try to function in some of that. But when in a moment of stress, in a moment of pressure, there will be one of those gifts that's going to manifest no matter what. You can't keep it. That's you. It's your mark in the body of Messiah. And that's the one we want to, first of all, hone in on so that we can understand ourselves. But then, you know, there are other six that we don't have necessarily, not in the measure that we have that one. And so then we can begin to understand other people. So the purpose is for you to understand that we have differing gifts. Differing gifts. That no one person has them all because we need one another. In the body, there are many parts, Paul said. And there, each part had its own importance. And he went on to say, if it's a finger, then this. And if it's a toe, there's that. And here, there's that. And you know that you're not supposed to say, if you're the finger, to tell the toe, oh, well, you're not important. Or if you're the eye, to turn the ear, oh, no, you're not important. You know, some of us got to be feet. Some of us got to be arms. Some of us got to be hair and ears and all that. And some of us got to be armpits. We need armpits. Okay, so, you know, so listen, if there was no armpit there, then it wouldn't work, would it? So the armpit needs a little extra deodorant. Some of us have to deal with that, and some don't. Okay? And some have faith. Maybe you're part of the face. Maybe you're part of the eyes. But let not the eye tell the face, or let the face tell the arm. Or Paul said, oh, well, you're not so important like me. Because they're all important, because we're all one body. That's the point. Okay, so he placed these gifts on everybody at birth. But they are activated when you become a born-again believer. Because when you become a born-again believer, the spirit of Adonai comes in with your spirit, and he turns on the switch, so to speak, to let more of that spiritual gift flow so that the body will be edified, and we are the body. Okay, so that's what I would like to be able to do. So let's take some time. John will play some awesome music and fill out. I've done this about 20 times, and I'm going to do it again. I hope that you were able to find that there's at least one of these that you really identify with. In my case, I had 10 on person number one, 2 for sure on person number two, 7 on person number three, 2 on person number 4, 3 on person number 5, 4 on person number 6, and 4 on person number 7. I must say I've grown. It used to be 10 and everything else was almost 0. The answer is right on the first page, page 1. Person number 1, write a big T on the right-hand side. The person number 2, write either an O or an L, depending on which Bible you use, it's going to be called either organizer, leader, or ruler. So O, L, or R. Person number 3, write a P. P as in Peter. Turn the page. Person number 4, write an M. M. M as in Michael. Person number 5, write an E. E as in Echo. Person number 6, write an S. And person number 7, write a G. Just for fun, for a second, I came out to be person number 1. Marilyn? 3? 3. Okay, anybody else want to say? 3? Lots of 3s. I expect lots of 3s in a Messianic congregation. 4? Some 4s? Awesome. 2? Absolutely. If I could guess. John? 6? Yeah? Jacob? 3 and 4. Jacob, you and Marilyn have some confusion. I'm messing with you, Jacob. I'm messing with you because we could never agree that my wife had number 4. She did, but we didn't agree. Jean? Okay, 1 and 4. Anyone else? Kathy? 2. That would make sense. David? 1 and 3. That makes sense. I can. 1. Elisma? 1 and 3? Okay, so the first letter tells you. So why are there so many 3s? Because it's prophets. And prophets are interested in, they're black and white, and they want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And they are motivated by that. Person number 1 is a teacher. Prophets and teachers share in common. Prophets and teachers share. Okay? Person number 2 is an organizer, a leader, or a ruler. And you can use whichever title applies to the person that you're married to. Now, I used to think that I had a lot of number 2. And the older I get, the more I find out I need some more number 2. Okay, so teacher, organizer, leader, or ruler, number 2. Prophet, number 3. Mercy, number 4. Mercy, number 4. And you could actually, you know, mercy's not limited to just ladies. If you had asked me which one would I have assigned to Candace, I would have assigned number 4. But if you had asked me which one would I have assigned to Jacob, I would assign number 4 as well. A male and a female, that's okay. Person number 5 is an exhorter. An exhorter. Any number 5s here? It's okay to say, yeah, awesome. Verse number six is server. Some classic examples of servers in our congregation are Joe Simpkins and John Davis. But he also has another one, so has a lot in another one. The last person is a giver. And I'm not going to ask who's a giver, because then that could be trouble. Because everybody finds out who the givers are, they go hang around them because they're going to get. Okay? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. In giver, the Lord said that we are to give, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And Melise, which one are you now? Okay. Your secondary could be many, multiple secondaries, one primary. Yes, you and I share number one. Stephen? Okay, that's very interesting. Awesome. Let me give you some names so that between now and when we get the opportunity to share all the details, you can see who exemplifies that in the Bible. So the person number one is best exemplified by the Apostle Luke, by Luke the writer, the one who wrote the book of Acts, the Dr. Luke. Person number two, organizer, leader, ruler, Nehemiah. Nehemiah set out to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Just a little nice little tiny task. Person number three, Peter, the Apostle Peter. P for prophet and Peter. Person number four, Mercy, the Apostle John. The Apostle John. You can read in his writings that he was concerned about lots of things nobody else was concerned about. He was concerned about how the Lord felt about this things, and you know, and he wanted to know. He said, I, Lord. I have to know. Person number five is an exhorter, the Apostle Paul. Person number six is a server, who exemplifies server better than anybody else, you think? I know, but we're not picking Yeshua because he's divine. He has them all. Stephen, the one that gave his life in Acts chapter 7. And person number seven, giver. Okay, I have a surprise for you. Person number seven has many, 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 many examples in the scripture. Lots of givers example in the scripture. So there's not a person in particular that exemplifies that. Yeshua said that we all needed to be givers. But the thing that identifies a giver more than anything else are certain things that some practical things, like you take a giver and they know which gift to get. You ask a giver, why are they giving that gift? They will tell you something like, oh, that person likes that. You think that I have any clue what you like? I don't have any clue what anybody likes. I think I know what my wife likes. And then I go get something and go, this is going to be awesome. And she changed her mind. And so she goes and said, oh, this is wonderful and whatever. And go like, oh, man. However, I have a son that had a lot of server. And one of the things that Ian was able to do as a server and a giver was he knew, you could just ask him what gift to get. I don't care who it is. And he knows exactly what to do. And go like, okay, I don't want to bother. I just don't have that. So that's there. For a moment, in the next week or so, take some time to read, like, for example, Luke. You can read the Gospel of Luke, and you can read the book of Acts. And also, Luke is probably the writer of Hebrews. When it comes to person number two, there's a whole book called Nehemiah. Okay? When it comes to person number three, Peter, there's Peter wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter, but you can't, he's not silent. He's always doing something in the Gospels. He's the first one. He's the more vociferous one. Mercy, the Apostle John, he wrote a number of things. The book of Revelation, the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And John, the other Gospels are called synoptic, but John's Gospel is not. Because John gets to the, you know what the principal word in John's Gospel is? Could you guess? Love. Beloved, love. Agape is his principal word. In person number five, exhorter, the Apostle Paul. Oh, you got lots of things you can look at for the Apostle Paul, like almost the entire New Testament. It's best manifested, though, in places like 1 and 2 Corinthians, Thessalonians, Colossians, and Philippians. Okay, that's exhorter. Server, you can read about Stephen at the beginning of the book of Acts, for example. And in terms of givers, then they are all over the Bible. So it is now 12 o'clock. So let me reset this. So if it rings and at 12:30, then I'm out of bounds. My intent is to finish before then. But to give some background. When I say spiritual gifts, what do you mean by that? Spiritual gifts are drives. It drives you. Opportunities and results that are given by the Holy Spirit to achieve Adonai's supernatural goals. They can be given by the Holy Spirit. They can also be activated by the Holy Spirit. Every one of you, some of you, even before you came to the Lord, you knew that you had an aptitude for serving, for example. Or you had an aptitude for organizing, for example. Our daughter, if left anywhere in public, would organize all of the bottom shelves. And she would go and organize Marilyn's pantry. It was outstanding. She keeps telling her, Ame, I need you to come organize my pantry. And so she's no longer, she exhibited a lot of that when she was young, but she doesn't exhibit so much of that, but she still has it. She came over with her husband and organized my tools and everything between the two of them. And I just sat down and watched. And they said, well, what do you want to do with this? I said, whatever you say. Because the organizer kind of motivated that way usually knows what to do. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, for the body is not one component, but many. And we are indeed the body of Messiah. The body of Messiah has legs and arms and armpits. Okay? The body of Messiah has bad breath. The body of Messiah has gas. The body of Messiah has hair and eyes and all anything that a body has, the body of Messiah has. So let not the armpit say to the leg, well, you can't be part of the body because you really need armpits. The legs say, well, wait a minute, you ain't getting no, going nowhere if you don't have me. Okay. Number two, who is given a spiritual gift? Every person. Every person was given one of these motivational gifts from birth. But they're not activated. They don't become activated until the person becomes a believer. Once you become a believer, not only does he activate your motivational gift, but there are a bunch of other gifts called manifestation gifts. And there are other gifts called doing kinds of gifts, ministry gifts. And the Holy Spirit can give you one of those at any point. Okay? You don't possess them. He hangs on to them. They're his. And he lets you function in that. So how many gifts do we have then? Well, in terms of the ones in Romans chapter 12, we have primarily one of those. Okay. However, we're supposed to grow, right? We're not supposed to just stay, well, that's who I am. Praise God. You know, like this is who I am. I'm never going to change. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is that we need to grow in areas, plus we need to know who's around us so that we can figure out why that person comes across. Every time you say something, they come out with the same kind of response. You might say, that response shuts me down. So you want to shut that person down. And then it becomes, you know, a dictatorship. And that's not how it is. Not in the body, not in the congregation. In terms of gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that there are something called pneumaticas. That's the Greek word. Pneumatica, pneumatics, has to do with air. Correct? It's air movement. So it is translated correctly in only one or two scriptures in Bibles in the entire world. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 12, 1, most Bibles say, now concerning spiritual gifts. But the word gift has a specific word in the Greek, and is not in the Greek for that. So In the Greek, which is where they got it from, it really says, now concerning pneumaticas, meaning the things of the Spirit, spiritual things, spiritual matters. There are three major categories that I will use. Will be motivational gifts, those are the ones in Romans 12, 3 through 9. Ministerial gifts, those listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31. And operational, those listed in 1 Corinthians 7, 12, 7 through 11. We have one primary motivational gift and the possibility of many ministerial and operational gifts, depending on what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us. Now, why do we only have one motivational gift? One of the answers that I came up with was so that you can concentrate on it. You don't have to be trying to say, well, you see, I need to be a Gator and I need to be a Miami Dolphin. That's a really difficult thing. Because sometimes the game, the Gators play and the Dolphins would play. I had to choose. I couldn't see them both. The Bible says, but we have gifts, charismata, that differ and which are meant to be used according to the grace that's been given unto us. Let me read you the next verse. If your gift, singular, if your gift, okay, charisma, singular, is prophecy, then, and if your gift is, it doesn't say if your gifts are. It says if your gift is, which is singular. It's very important. We have therefore one primary motivational gift. Also, the reason that we have only one is so that we can see the need for one another, so that we don't become an independent entity in and of itself. If everybody here sees everything the same way, we'll have a boring congregation. Just boring. The fact is that I know when I say something that I have 17% agreement and 83% disagreement. You have to learn how to work with that. So do you. The Bible says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to use sound judgment as God has assigned to each person a measure of faith." Not measures, a measure of faith. "For just as we have many parts in one body, and all parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and everyone is a part of one another." We are parts are interrelated and need one another. That's in Romans 12, 3 through 5. Let me give you the three categories of gifts. They're based on Greek words in 1 Corinthians 12, okay, which was written in Greek. The first word, Greek word, is charismaton. Charisma, charismaton. Those are motivational. Second word is diakonion. We get the word deacon from that. Okay, diakonion are ministerial gifts. Ministerials. They're administrative type of gifts. And the last one in the Greek word, the word is energema. What does that sound to you? Energy. Sounds like energy. Those are operational or manifestational. So I actually can use three words, three M's, the three M's. M and M and M, okay? M for motivation, M for ministry, and M for manifestation. This is in Romans 12, 3 through 9 are the motivational gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31 are the ministry gift. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 are the energema or the manifestation gifts. Now, if that is the case, then there ought to be parallel things in a human body. Because the body of Messiah, it's called the body of Messiah. That means it has to have characteristics that are in human body. So where do you go find that out? It used to be you go ask a doctor, but I changed my mind about that. So I'll go ask the doctor's reference. I think I get better information from the PDR than I am from that. So there's a great book called Grace Anatomy of the Human Body. Been around a long time. And in Grace Anatomy of the Human Body, the body has these sensors. They're called perceptors in his body, but they're sensors. Okay? So this analogy between what Grace Anatomy says are sensors and the seven gifts is striking. Striking. Here's what Paul said in Romans 12, 4 through 5. "For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and everyone parts of one another." This passage precedes the instruction on the motivational gifts. This has got to be a coincidence, of course, right? It's a coincidence. Well, let me give you what science has found as the seven, why not 10? Why not 50? Why not 150? Okay? Now, as time goes by, then they find some other rare perceptor that people may have. But in general, the primary perceptors, or the primary sensors that you have, are the following. One is heat. A heat perceptor, right? If you don't have the heat perceptor working and you stick your hand in the candle and leave it there for a long time, then smell will tell you that something's wrong when it's burning, right? So heat perceptors send warning messages to the brain when heat passes a certain level of tolerance. Well, when God's judgment was imminent upon his people, he got the prophets hot. They sense that it's the Lord's going to be upset here. And they would go and talk and give instructions to the people to calm down the fire of the Lord. Correct? The second one, touch perceptors. What do you mean touch perceptors? These are the slightest touch. It's registered by these perceptors and are sent to the brain for a response. When a person taps another, he usually seeks attention to get the attention of the person so that they can. The primary reason you tap one another is because you want them to get a blessing or something. Here, you need this. The server is like a touch perceptor, because the server responds to any of those situations. Balance perceptors. When that goes haywire, you're not able to function really well. Some of us, like Stephen and I, do not do real good climbing up to the roof of some place. Because even though I tell my legs to, it's okay, you're not going to fall, next thing I know, I'm leaning and falling. So I, for example, knew that if I had to do roofs for a living, I'd starve to death. I'm not going up there. I at least can go up there. John Davis, always going to high places. And I look at him and say, better you than me. Okay? So if the body's too far left or too far right, these perceptors will call for a muscle response to correct the situation. This is the great motivation of a teacher. A teacher, when senses that something is not being shared in balance, then the teacher goes and finds documentation and correction to bring it back to balance. Balance sensitive. Stretch perceptors. The perceptors register the amount of stretching that takes place when the skin is in the process of growth or when you're doing exercises. Similarly, the exhorter, okay, is alert to spiritual growth and steps of progress that believers are experiencing when their faith is stretching them a little bit. Cold perceptors. When an object near the skin is colder than the skin, it draws warmth from the body to itself. This action is detected by cold perceptors. A giver is such a person. A giver responds to the needs of a person when the rest of us ignore it. Sometimes they just need a little something. Number six, pressure perceptors. Deep pressure in the body triggers these perceptors, which in turn signal the brain to shift the weight of the body to avoid pain. Okay? Leaders and organizers are pressure perceptors. They sense pressure and they create pressure. They are experts in the pressure deal. Okay? Because if you don't put the pressure on, it ain't going to get done. And so, you know, leaders and organizers, you know, the King James Version says rulers. I like that name. Because they're like a big ruler like my mom had. When my mom got that ruler, okay, get it done. If you have a ruler husband or a ruler wife, you know what I'm talking about. And finally, pain perceptors. These perceptors signal the brain when damage is occurring in the body. It is significant that other perceptors can be adapted or ignored, but pain perceptors cannot be. They cannot be ignored. A person with the gift of mercy is totally alert to the pain that other people have, and they will not rest until that pain is removed. Now, with that in mind, what should follow then is a detail. I can't do that in one day. There's seven of them. So, details on each one of these so that you can grow in them. We'll get to speak about you. Now, if I did prophet first, I would probably get about 50% of you. Because that when I took the survey a while ago, there's a bunch of prophets around here. You know why? That's why you're in the Messianic congregation. Hello, hallelujah. You're looking for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help God or anybody else. They want the stuff that God said. There's no discussion if God said it, right? No discussion. So a while ago, I was asking the Lord what to do. So I think this is what, you know, I'm kind of bearing myself here. But I think that rather than doing the first two, I'm going to do number one and number seven together. So those of you that are confused between three and four, also, number one and number seven are the most differing. They're the most far apart. So we'll do number one, number seven. Then we'll do number two. Number two is an organizer. Who do you think organizers need? They need servers. They sure do. They need folks to get this done. They have the ideas. They know exactly what to do, but they can't do it themselves. You know, they're totally motivated to get others involved. So we'll do number two, person number two, and person number six. Okay? Person number three, teacher. Person number three is going to go with exhorter. Who was Paul's a perfect exhorter? Who went with Paul everywhere? Luke. In the Bible, Luke went with Paul. And guess who went with Peter? Peter and John went to pray. Don't you think that's a little bit funny? Peter is like the, and John is the, calm down. So, this is perfect. Peter would put them down to bleed, and John would come in and heal their wounds. Okay? So that. And then finally, by themselves, person number four. This person number four deserves that just to be, because all of us need to be like person number four. That's 4 weeks, which would get me to Shavuot. That's what I'm committing to do. Are there any questions so far? Now, have you wondered? Here's the funny thing. on occasion, there might be a marriage where the two are the same. That's very rare. Because they're either going to be happy or they're going to be unhappy at the same time. So you have to get the cat or somebody else to come raise you up. If both of you have the same and both of you are depressed because you see something and you don't like it. And so, you know, it's important to have the alternative. Opposites attract, huh? In a sense. The Lord pleases the Lord to put the ones that you don't have in your family. For example, he put a server in mine, my son Ian, who also is a ruler. He put one of those in there. Ian always wanted to have a party. Ian always wanted to do all these things. Mom and I, you know, she's a prophet and I'm a teacher. We don't really need any people. Oh, no, we got to have this and got to. And he plans the whole food and everything else. And it's awesome the way. And then he organizes it so that the cleanup is included and everything else. We learned from him, but it was interesting when he was little. Okay, when they were little, Amelise was more, not so much a prophet, because she used to go to her mom, go like, ah. And she seemed to illustrate more of the organizer teacher thing. So when she was little, she was mine, because I understood that. And then she grew up, and now she's Marilyn's. And now she's married, so now she's Stephen. So, you know, I don't know. You just can't figure this out. So, how well would it be for a prophet to preach? The Lord said, and if you don't do it, you're going to hell. Get straightened out right now. And there's no mercy there, okay? I mean, it's like God said, did he say any? No. Can he? But there's no but. God said, it's black and white. Okay? So those. The teachers. Stephanie Simpkins is a teacher. And she and I, you know, we want to make sure we get to the middle to understand what's on the left of the middle and what's on the right of the middle. When I would explain that, my wife said, you're being wishy-washy. The thing is, though, that once a teacher researches something and establishes that is exactly what God said, then we become like them. We become prophets like them. I did not used to have on number three. Now I have seven. 43 years living with one is getting in there. Okay? Then there's the servers. The servers, they want to go and do everything. So they get home and they start doing their own job and they remember, oh, Carly needs this. So I'm going to go help Carly. Meanwhile, the family's going like, what about us? Well, Carly needs it. I got to go. And God forbid that somebody calls a server's house with something, you know, a car or it's Joe Simpkins and John to a certain extent. The last episode, Joe called me to say, I need your trailer. I said, oh, of course you can have it. I didn't say anything. I'm taking it to North Carolina. I'm going like, where are you going to North Carolina? Because so-and-so needs to go get some stuff. And maybe I'll even get some of that stuff. So I'm going to, so Joe, you're going to hook up the trailer on one of your project cars and go all the way to North Carolina, okay, and bring this stuff back, and it's not even for you. Yeah. Say, yes, Joe, I'll even got the tag, so you can go do it. If you don't understand that, now ask the family of the server how much they enjoy that. So in that case, I would put Stephanie Simpkins and Michelle Davis to elucidate how much they enjoy having a server in their home. You know? But it's not until they understand that you know, you can negotiate with the server about, because otherwise they're going to be out there doing ministry all the time, 24/7. They don't pay attention to physical limits. And God forbid that you get a server close to an organizer, because the organizer walks around here and says, God, we need to clean this closet. And they come up with a ways to do that, but they need helpers. So they get all the helpers and they come in, and so they come in to help, and the organizer is excited. Say, here, this piece of paper tells you exactly what I want you to do. Go do it. Well, wait, no. Just do what I said on the paper, okay? When it's all said and done, we'll get together and discuss it. There's no discussion for organizers, because they understand that the rest of us don't get it. We just don't get it, okay? So, a mercy. Imagine sending a mercy to the prodigal son. The prodigal son is in the pit with pigs. The prophet comes around and doesn't even get near the pig pen, because that's unkosher and it stinks. And from over there says, that's what you get when you do sin. You need to repent. Okay, which the guy in the pig pen goes, yeah, I know, I need to repent. Didn't help me any. Well, then let's send the mercy. The mercy sees the guy in the pig pen. They immediately raise their pants legs or dress legs, and they go get in the pig pen. And they hug the person. I know how you feel. You need to feel loved so you can get out of here and get more love. Okay, is that going to get the guy out of there? Not really. I mean, it's like stay there and be mercied forever. Send a server there. What happens if you send a server there? They look, oh, you don't have any shoes. Oh, your pants are dirty. You need some new pants. You need to have a bath. You need some personal care equipment and stuff. And so they'll go doing about that and never talk to them about this, the reason they're there. So, you know, it's like dressing in Puerto Rico. Their books called Juan Bobo's piglet. And, you know, Juan Bobo always wanted to make all the piglet look great. And as soon as the piglet saw the mud hole, he went in there, because that's what they do. Okay, so that doesn't help. How about an organizer? Well, she'll go and say, you know, this is the most disorganized pig pen I've ever seen in my life. And actually come up with plans and everything to fix that pig pen. Now, they're not going to do it. You got it? So what's left to send? The exhorter. Ah. What's the exhorter go say? You know, you don't have to stay there forever. The exhorter said, I know three steps you can take that you can come out of that pig pen right now and be redeemed and released forever. So if the person goes, okay, then they will share the three steps. If the person decides he wants to do step number two before step number one, you just got the exhorter excited. Like, no. You have to do step one. And after you do step one, then you do step two. And after you do step two, you do step three. They're the ones that tell you, they give you steps for everything. They tell you exactly what you need to do in order to improve in whatever category there is. And I'm not that person. I don't look at you, you know, and come around you thinking, well, let me see how many, let me give you 5 steps, Gene, and give Pat 6 steps. And let me give, I don't think like that at all. Actually, all I want to know is, did you get what I said? What didn't you understand? Let me explain it to you. And as soon as you say, I got it, you go, I'm done. Bye. I'm not that concerned. We need all 7. If we don't have all 7, we have a most poor congregation. And I believe that if you, first of all, you should know, if you're a parent, what's the gifting of each for your children. If you're a husband, you should know what's the gifting of your wife. If you're a wife, you should know what is the gifting of your husband. Because that will help the what happens in the home. And that's, you know, like daily. You live with that every day. Okay? So that's what I plan to do for the next month. I haven't taught this since 2016 and 2014. So it's 6 years old. It needs to be done again. Please stand.